Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Mark Reardon.
You know, politicians want to force you to cover your face as a way for them to cover their own asses.
Mark Reardon.
Does the president not know what's going on?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Hope your weekend is kicking off well. Most people have a three-day weekend. I'm sorry. Some people have a three-day weekend. Sue, do you have a three-day weekend?
I do.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you. I'm pretty happy about it.
I asked that question because that means you won't be here on Monday.
Oh.
Because I will be.
Sorry.
So,
but this is
hey.
Joy. This isn't work. It's joy.
That's true. Thanks
for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Mark Reardon Show. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark today. And it's kind of Mike and the Angels is what we have for the round table today.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm like Charlie, the guy on the phone.
Tip your waitresses.
And we are surrounded by the angels. So, obviously, Jane Duker is here. She is here almost every Friday, whether we want her to be or not. So,
amen.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
She is also joined by Donna Berenger, who is a former Missouri State Rep. She is running for the City of St. Louis Comptroller.
Woo-hoo. And I hope she wins.
Yay. We may talk more about that as we go along. Gene Evans is joining us also, a former state rep, former head of the Missouri GOP. I got a lot of formers going on in this room. They've done a lot, is what we've learned. And she is currently the head of the Missouri Federation for Children. Ladies, how are you?
Fantastic.
We're great, Charlie.
Nice and warm outside. Yeah.
You like that?
What's our assignment?
Great. Your assignment today is to try and be relevant about the topics that we have without throwing people completely under the bus in ways that will get us fined.
Mm. Oh, yeah. If fining is the, you know, if that's the low bar, we're going to be fine.
I'm just setting guardrails and we're going to go
good.
From there. So we're going to talk about quite a few things and try to, I should say. We're going to try to talk about a few things. Sometimes easier said than done with this crew when they get going. But we got to start off by talking about the TikTok thing. So first of all, are any of you on TikTok?
Yes.
I am not.
I am.
You are.
I go on, and then I go off, and then I go on.
So I, Sue, are you a TikTok person?
I am not. They've captured all my data.
I wanted to be a TikTok person, you know, getting on and doing all that. I set up a profile back for my 2022 campaign when I ran, but I haven't done anything with it.
And you know what? Even though I've been on it, I'm kind of glad. I think, look, it's not very often, first of all, that you get a per curiam decision, meaning like they're all so united that it's not even attributable to certain judges.
Right.
Okay. That's and the Supreme Court, say what you want, Republican, Democrat, they are almost always pro First Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't run around saying, oh my God, this is a court that hates the First Amendment, you know, because the millennials or whatever, the Xers, I mean, they're having complete meltdowns because that's probably how they all make their money.
Well, you have 170 million Americans, right. Supposedly,
yes.
Which
and
I find hard to believe because that's more than half the country.
I would not be surprised. I mean, like you said, like I had it.
Well,
did
you
I
got,
look at it a lot. But
look,
I mean,
look at a large percentage of the population that are seniors,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And They're not on TikTok. Let's be honest.
But
you know what happens
is if you go on Facebook, though, or you go on X, and there's a TikTok video, people often set up because they can't see the videos that are posted. Yes. That is one of the big reasons why.
I have that happen a lot.
Okay,
I'll have to tell you, that is correct. I don't post on TikTok, but correct. I can go in and watch the TikTok.
You little voyeur, you.
Yes.
Yes.
But what I want to ask is, I was kind of taken aback by the fact that this was only, they named TikTok. So all the people I've been told that are on TikTok have gone over to something else called Red, which is also owned by the Chinese. So all we're going to do is take everyone from TikTok and just move them to another program. So why didn't they broadly make this law more about protecting your personal information?
I think this is whack-a-mole.
I think, right. And yeah. I think this is, they wanted to get the precedent set. And so I sort of agree with that, because take the big dog down, and then the rest will follow. And I will tell you this. I mean, you know, everybody's like, I'm getting off Twitter or X or whatever it is, and I'm going to such and such profile. And you know what? It never carries over the same amount of people. It just doesn't.
No.
And so it is going to get more and more difficult.
Well, it gets more fragmented as we go through.
Yes.
I mean, just media in general continues to get more fragmented. Gene, what do you think about this?
I think, you know, think back to the beaches of Normandy when we had 17, 18, 19-year-old kids willing to give up their life to fight the Germans. Now we have 17, 18, 19-year-old kids don't want to give up TikTok to save their country. So I think we've come a long way.
We've changed.
We've changed.
We have evolved, as we've said, but not necessarily positive.
Have you seen the crying videos of these lunatics crying that their life is over?
There's Reels. There's Instagram. There are so many other ways that they can get out there and communicate. There's Snapchat. I mean, there's so many of them that at some point, like, I gave up trying to keep
But they're
keep
making
up, right?
big money. That's so, what people that's what people don't understand.
So Kevin O'Leary, better known as Mr. Wonderful to many people, is the one of the bidders on this. So he has got a $20 billion cash offer on the table. He and another partner have got a $20 billion cash option or cash offer on the table to get this. Here's the thing that I didn't understand. Starting Sunday, if you have a media platform and you allow this to continue, you get fined, could get fined, $5,000, I believe it is, per 170 million users, which means you have this multi-billion dollar a day fine that you can have. So
is
in other words, this, well, it's the government.
You're going to get it from the Chinese?
They find them. Well, no, they're going to. The platform is going to get that.
So how would a platform, that's what I don't understand, is how does a platform either host or not host TikTok?
I'm thinking they're talking about Apple and Google.
Does that mean AT&T?
Yes.
I mean, are they going to be liable if TikTok flies over their network?
Yes.
I mean,
that's what they're talking about, is the network providers are the ones who are going to get dinged with this.
Well, then
those would be the ones.
Legal mark.
Yeah. So they're talking about that, shutting it down and seeing where we go from here. So I would tell you, we're going to talk to Brad Young coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today to find out a little bit more about what this means. But there are a ton of questions out there that I'm curious to see where that's going to go. But since the ruling just came down today, and supposedly this has all got to be in place by Sunday, I'm thinking this thing's going to go dark and Trump is not going to be on TikTok.
I was just going to say, I'm going to look now to see if it's still on.
So it should be on until Sunday.
One of the things, because I did, you know, I've gone into TikTok and I've done some work. What bothers me right now is I was unaware, like Jane has brought up, that there are people making millions of dollars on TikTok. But here's the problem. They're doing it with their children, and there are no child labor laws being enforced. And so what they're saying is, there was a law done many, many years ago, and I'm forgetting, it was named after a gentleman who was famous in the talkies back in the 1920s. His parents spent every dime he ever made, so he was broke. He never had any money.
Oh, what was his? I know you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So they're saying that if they're going to allow TikTok to continue, and these parents are letting their 4 and 5 year olds, and they are the ones collecting these millions. So the money's not in the children's name. The parents are taking it. And so I want us to start thinking about child labor.
4 and 5 year olds are living rent free and eating all the food they want of their parents.
But hey, how is that any different from any of the television shows that we've had?
No, they have contracts.
Like John and Kate plus 8.
Except sadly,
none of those kids, none of the John and Kate plus 8, or what was the...
But at least in TikTok, they're in their own home.
What was the couple...
And they're not a child star that's getting, you know...
But what was the couple from Arkansas that had like the 19 kids?
Seriously.
That and they were all
the Duggars.
The Duggars, yeah. That ended up being a whole soap opera on its own from outside of that.
You know, I mean, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to come on that. We'll talk with Brad to find out a little bit more about that. So because I have three folks who are intimately familiar with the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County, I'm going to throw this out there, and then I'm going to step back to make sure that all of my limbs stay intact. So it was... How warm did it get today? Like 58 or something?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
almost
know.
60.
It got warm.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, in the city of St. Louis, there are still icy roads. Sue, is that true?
That is 100% accurate.
And my street's one of them.
Four inches of ice in front of my home.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Yes.
4 inches. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to, I mean, 160 degree day is not going to get rid of, and by the way, near my house, there is commerce going on.
Yep.
Or trying to
go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to go on.
I started to say, wait, should we identify commerce that was going on? Because,
I was
really thinking somebody's
strange.
Dealing something in front. You
don't
know, there's
talk
commerce
to the
that's going
like that, Charlie. I'm just like, it's very frustrating to me when, you know, in the Central West End, you have the guy ice skating.
Right.
And, you know, that's like insane. Like, that never happened. I mean, I've been in St. Louis for 59 years, and the
which is amazing because she's only 40.
Okay, I know, so, right?
I know.
Let me tell you all. When I was an alderman, so in 2014, we had 10 inches of snow in 24 hours, and so the protocol was there was a protocol with the streets department, and what it said was we brine the ground first, so they put brine out,
mm-hmm.
and then after the snow or ice comes, then they put out salt or they put out. Sand, and they gave us a map. I had an actual map of my ward, and it told you which streets would be plowed, which streets would be treated, and which streets wouldn't be touched. However, the rule was you had two blocks to get to a street where it was cleared. That was the rule. And if it wasn't, then they would come plow that street. They would also plow the streets in front of the schools. And the reason I am so upset is because the former streets department chair, he would actually go out and do the snow plows and be in 3 or 4 in the morning working with the crews. And he could personally report to you, this is what's cleared, here's what's not cleared.
It's not that big of a place.
No. And the other thing that people didn't know, because I've said this, is that there were areas where they were hills, but there's no way they could get their snow plows everywhere. They would leave buckets of salt for the neighborhood to go up and down, at least salt their own street so they could salt it because it was that bad. That was, I mean, we're talking about 10 inches in 24 hours.
Which is twice.
I talked to a lady yesterday who used to work for Francis Slay.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that everyone who was working on Francis's staff, when you had weather like this, mm-hmm. everybody had to get in their car, no matter if you were front-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, didn't matter. You had to get in your car, and you got assigned areas to go check.
There you go.
And then come back and tell Francis, is this cleared? Is this not?
Yep.
Is
mm-hmm.
this done?
It's called accountability.
Right.
Yep. Okay? And so first of all, I want you all to be very happy, though, that the mayor's father's street was manicured. It was literally Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. And after two snows, I mean, like, we're talking clear and dry. I'm like, okay, like, there are no streets that were clear and dry. But
no, I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Well, no,
I'm
well,
sure.
he said Spire did it. And I'm like, oh, well, a lot of people posted that.
You know,
Spire
does a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said.
Those
well, then,
Spire folks, man.
Then she should have gone to the comptroller right away and gotten a contract for Spire to clear all of the streets because they did such a darn good job.
Okay, let's not forget what else was going on. So there's two things that people have not brought up that I have, and I'm a person that it happened to.
Let's
I
go.
Had no mail for an entire week.
2 weeks.
No mail.
I didn't have mail.
Yeah. And let me
two
tell
weeks,
you why
no
that's
trash.
A big deal. Because I get all my prescriptions through Express Scripts. My medication sat at the post office. Mm-hmm. I had no medicine for a week. And I tell people, why did we not have something set up? They have our phones, cell phones. They can send us an emergency text saying, if you have medication, go to the post office and pick it up.
So
right?
in this particular instance, when you say they, mm-hmm. you mean the Postal Service or you mean,
well,
who do you
I
mean?
The city. I would have admitted I would have gotten with the city and the Postal Service. As an alderman, I would have been doing that. The next thing people don't know is that Meals on Wheels didn't get to 20% of their people. They went without food.
I didn't even think about that.
They went without food for an entire week.
Two weeks, no mail. 2 weeks, no trash.
Well, that's unacceptable.
I saw somebody the other day that said, hey, remember that whole thing with the Postal Service of snow or rain or dark of night will keep us from getting to our voting rounds? Well, evidently it's, inconvenience is where we draw the line these days.
Here's the deal.
We have evolved at the Postal Service as well.
I don't know how they could go door to door on the site.
They couldn't. That's what I'm saying. The mayor, any mayor worth their weight in salt would have been crawling up USPS's Francis, Lida, all of them would have been crawling up the postal office saying, you know, if you could get there, you need to get there. This mayor couldn't because she caused the problem. I'm one of the people who has a mail person that walks.
Okay.
There is zero chance that the mail person where I live could have safely delivered the mail.
Well,
and I don't blame the Postal Service.
I got to attend a fundraiser event down in the city the other night. And I parked in this parking lot. And from the parking lot all the way to where the fundraiser was, there was a nice path that was shoveled off of an otherwise completely covered area. I wonder how that happened.
The owner of the business got out there and shoveled and salted.
Well, they did a nice job. I'm proud to support or report, though, that the Post-Dispatch has a story that says the St. Louis streets chief says the staff gave her bad info on snow.
Well, then you get your...
That's the stupidest thing I've ever...
I mean, horrible. Really, seriously.
Do you not drive to work?
Well, apparently
do
not.
Do you not look out the door?
Right. She lives on the mayor's father's street.
It's not like every news service in town didn't have multiple video shots of all the ice that was sitting there and everything that was covered. So
just recently, she just sent out a statement that, well, maybe we did take too long to change our tactics.
It's just unacceptable.
She sent the statement from D.C.
Well, it's obviously a very important thing for the mayor to get done right away because she... Oh, that's right. She's in D.C. and she's doing a fundraiser while we're there. We will talk about that and more. Jane Duker, Donna Behringer, and Gene Evans all here on the Roundtable with Mike and the Angels, sitting in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here. It's the Mark Reardon Show. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark today on the Reardon Roundtable. Jane Duker is here. Donna Behringer is here. Gene Evans is here. We have thrown the city of St. Louis under the bus sufficiently for the moment because if I don't get off this topic, we will be here for 3 hours. And as much as bashing the city is so much fun and tends to be easy ground to plow, let's move a little bit west and let's talk about the other easy ground that seems to be to plow, because St. Louis County Council has pretty much completely turned the page on Sam, shall
Correct.
We say. So it's funny, there are some things that just bring people together naturally. Republicans and Democrats,
blacks,
they don't
whites.
Find a lot of things to agree on.
Yes.
The St. Louis County Council has found one thing that they agree on. They disagree with Sam Page on pretty much everything. Although, it looked like they were going to try to put an issue on the ballot in April to get Sam recalled, but Rita Days seems to have had a change of heart on that now. Is that fair to categorize it that way?
I mean, no, I think that's actually pretty close from what I've seen. I think they were going to do the, hey, if you can get a supermajority of the council to throw out a county executive, you can. And then I think people said, you know what, this probably ought not be, because you don't want to make bad policy because you have a bad leader.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And never make policy based on one instance because it lives.
Yes. And so I think that she decided. And what's funny about it is, to a T, every person that talked, you know, about this measure, talked to any of the council members, and because they talked about it at the council meeting.
Yeah.
They were like, look, we understand your frustration and it's completely legitimate. Right. And so there isn't anybody out there saying, oh, wow, we don't want to do this because, you know, leadership is awesome.
Right.
It was, we know how bad it is, but, you know, we have to think of the future. And
you always go down a slippery slope when you start overriding the will of the voters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the voters may have
heartburn.
Now, the voters
have gotten to decide about it, though. That was the one false thing I thought, was everybody saying you're overriding the voters. If the voters give you the right to do that, you're not overriding the voters anymore. However,
guess so. But you're letting April voters override November voters.
Which happens a lot, sadly.
This is very true. That's
true.
How you get the taxes that you get.
I just, you know, for as long as I can remember, I hear from Democrats, you know, we got to get rid of Charlie Dooley. He's corrupt. Well, we get Steve Stenger in there. He'll fix everything. And then it's like, oh, we got to get rid of him. We'll get Sam Page in there and he'll fix everything. And I just,
common thread there is
bad Democrats.
It's like Bad Santa. It's a new movie that's coming out. We'll talk to Paul Hall about that later on today.
I don't want to be partisan about it, but I because
it's not all Democrats.
I don't think it should be a partisan position, quite frankly. I think we need an administrator. I think we would do well with an administrator.
I don't want an administrator because I don't think we need any more unelected bureaucrats running things.
Well,
however, I do think nonpartisan. And that was discussed at the Charter Commission, and of course, Sam Page squashed it.
But you know, an awful lot of cities have city administrators.
Yes.
And city administrators are, for lack of a better term, nonpartisan in terms of how they run the city. Because to be perfectly honest with you, most of the issues that are county government, city government
shouldn't be partisan at all.
They're not really partisan stuff. I mean, it's planning and zoning, it's safe neighborhoods.
Right. Picking up the trash. Yeah,
exactly.
Those kind of things. However, I do think, I mean, I'm not saying I'm fully against an administrator, but I am against more unelected bureaucrats because I do think that having the county executive be accountable to the voters is not a bad thing. But you can't even get to that because things are such a mess in the county. You had every elected leader, you know, important leader, at a county council meeting on Tuesday, a committee of the whole, to discuss a regional police training center.
Yes.
It's being funded by the state to the tune of $50 million.
Yes.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody is on board on how this should work except Sam.
Right.
So they come, and so then it's lay, and now it's been thrown on the council's lap because we're in danger of losing this money from the state, and we should be because, you know, this the money was given a year ago, more than a year ago, and he has stalled. And the reason is that he wants all of this to be under the control of the county only.
Well, I thought it was very interesting that
it's a power grab.
Well, they had, so Steve Ellman in St. Charles has been in favor of this. I'm more in favor of the training center that is currently being built, by the way, in the city of O'Fallon. So the city of O'Fallon and the city of St. Charles went together and are already building this with their funds. They asked for state funds. Parson took their money away for a number of different reasons. But we're not going to talk about that senator right now. So they took that money away, and they even gave that money to the folks who are building this one somewhere. Now, the problem is there's room in St. Charles County that they could move out there and they could build it out by Bush Wildlife. There's room out there. Nope. The people who want to build this only want to build it in St. Louis County. They have to put it there. So they had a group set up, from what I understand, that was a nonprofit that was going to run this. And then Sam decided, nope, I want this to be an intergovernmental agreement.
And I get to be in charge.
We have intergovernmental agreements between Franklin, Jefferson, St. Charles, St. Louis on a regular basis, right? We do it all the time. And our attorneys on staff at all of these places work it out. For some reason, Sam has decided he doesn't want county attorneys doing this. He wants to bring in an outside attorney and pay them $25,000 to do it, which means he had to go to the council and ask for this, which he knew. He knew before he even did this, the council was going to tell him to go fly a kite and show him the big your number one finger.
Well, here's the thing. After the committee of the whole, which I watched, and, you know, the bottom line is if they don't get this done, they're going to lose the money. So the council is probably in a corner that they can't get out of because they don't want to give up a $50 million project. This is what it is. And he kept spewing off. I mean, it's pretty amazing how he can just barf into the record and lie like a rug. I mean, people were like, I mean, it was really
How do
amazing.
You feel, really? Come on.
Yeah, no. And he was like, oh, well, you know, if it's a nonprofit, then the people are going to be personally liable. I'm like, I mean, he was the MD was trying to act like a JD. And I'm like, oh, well, if you know so much about the law, why do we need outside counsel?
But, and he was full of BS.
And he was full of BS. And everybody
just
in the room was
trying to stay
like,
with your initials.
And what's funny is all of these leaders showed up to St. Louis County. Sam Page didn't show up. Like, how does that even happen when everybody is agreeing on something and he can't and he won't show up? Well, I was glad that the council tore him a new one and said, he's like, well, we should communicate more. Well, we communicated about this for 2.5 hours and you didn't show up.
Right.
And so now we've got to make the decision because of you. And so, you know, he wants it to be under, he said that they will lose immunity, which is false, if it's not under St. Louis County's power. And this asset was not given to just St. Louis County. And so that overreach is so obnoxious and so over the top. And, you know, and while you may disagree, I don't think we should give up $50 million and get extra police training if the state is willing to give it to us and let the power grab prevent that from happening.
You know, you could take half that money and go put it with the folks in O'Fallon that are already currently building it.
Yeah.
And that way you get an even bigger bang for your buck. Gene, where do you think this is going?
The state decided.
I don't know where it's going, but I do think that you're right. Like, let's be efficient with people's tax dollars
and
stop fighting. And so if you've already got something you've been built in St. Charles, it's not like it's that far away.
It's not.
And
well, they had a fight over it at the legislature and with the governor, and they lost.
We have a new governor.
The House and the Senate both put it in their budget, and then Parson took it out.
Yep.
So the House and the Senate
both
agreed.
Both were in the budget.
They were.
That money didn't come out of nowhere. They were both in the budget, and the governor said, I want to be efficient with tax dollars.
Well,
I'm not funding both.
So what do you think, Gene?
I think that you're going to see a unified voice when it comes to law enforcement and public safety with Governor Kehoe.
This is
his number one priority. That's all he's talking about. He will find a way to get
this
done because he always does.
Yes.
And you could be his arch enemy. You could be his best friend. He finds a way to get things done.
Yes.
I've watched him do it for 10 years that I've known him. He does what he says he's going to do. He keeps his word and people trust him. And so I think this solution will come about because at some point, if they don't fix it, it'll rise up to him and he will take care of it. And I have every confidence in him getting it done.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited about, I mean, we're going to get board control of the police done.
So Donna, being the comptroller person that you want to be, meaning you are and have a reputation for being a fiscal hawk, where do you think this is going to land? Because at the end of the day, it really all comes back to money.
Well, it does come back to money, but I did not know, was this money ARPA funds or straight up out of the budget?
Straight up out of the budget.
Okay, so the money's there.
GR.
They have it.
Yes.
They have it. Okay, and I only say that because I know that things are going to slide the other way soon. So if the money's sitting there, you got to hurry up and get it or somebody else
that's
is going to take
saying.
It.
I mean,
they'll take it.
And they should.
And that's what they do because that's why I tell people, I said, if you don't move that money, they take it. And that happened to the city on our place. They had another $10 million. They asked for another $10 million for our center. And they had already given them $10 million. And then they saw that they hadn't spent or touched the $10 million. So they took away their $10
million. Wow.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Everything's got a clock on it, right?
Yes. Well,
and it should. And it should. And look, and if St. Louis, if Sam Page manages to screw this up because of his power grab, and so that's outside of the issue that you're talking about, whether this was the right place to do it. The fact that, he tells all the leaders surrounding him to jump in the lake is a very dangerous and bad thing. And that is what the county council was really upset about, was that, you know, all the leaders, collaboration is what we need to be doing here. We want to collaborate. He only wants to collaborate with Tishara, which is the worst thing. And so, you know, that's like that's like just throwing gasoline on the fire.
You know, if he could collaborate her on ice removal, I would say snow removal, right. But we're past snow.
Yes.
So now we've iced right. in.
So I do think that he's going to have a rough road ahead of him because they're not putting up with it anymore. I think there was a period of time where some of these council members were just abused by the lies, and they've said this. These are not my words. This is not my characterization. This is theirs, other leaders, people who are elected officials. And so I think it's going to get cleaned up a lot more, which is really good. We need that. But this region needs some help now. Mm-hmm.
So I want to broaden this out on the other side of the break and want to talk about the guy whose name has already been mentioned a couple of times, and that is Mike Kehoe. Donnie, you were at the Capitol Monday, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
So we were all there Monday for the swearing-in of Mike Kehoe, and I will tell you, it has been a long time since I have been around that many political folks of all different stripes who all seemed to share one characteristic that day, and I would say that word was optimism.
Absolutely.
I felt so much optimism mm-hmm. around the Capitol that day.
Yes.
So many people, whether they were Republican or whether they were Democrat or whether they were just there because they thought it was cool to be a part of the process, everybody seemed to be on board with Mike Kehoe. And I will tell you, the one thing I fear for Mike Kehoe is so many people have so much confidence in him, and there are so many expectations of what they expect him to get done. The bar keeps getting raised, and it's not getting raised by him. It's getting raised by the fact that so many people have so much confidence in what he's going to be able to get done. But at the end of the day, there is a House and Senate, and that has a tendency to derail things. We will talk about that a little bit more. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Jane Duker's here. Donna Behringer is here. Gene Evans is here. It is the Mark Reardon Show on the Reardon Roundtable with Mike and the Angels today. And I was told that makes Ethan Bosley. And we're going to have to show him Charlie's Angels so he understands the reference. It's 97.1 FM Talk. Thanks for hanging out. It is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. My name is Mike Elam. You have to call me Chairman now.
Chairman?
For this whole thing. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. You like that?
I like Charlie.
Yeah. So, okay. We'll go with Charlie.
Chairman Charlie.
So we were talking about Mike Kehoe on the way to the break. And I thought he did a great job with his speech. I thought the event was really well. Gene had a good point that they did a great job in Jefferson City of getting snow out of the way.
Yep.
And making sure. It was cold. When I was walking up the hill to the Capitol, it was freezing.
Like 10 degrees?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, that was cold. But by the time that we got out to the lawn with the sun shining down, it really wasn't that bad. Although it is very funny when you have a crowd of people in freezing weather because everyone has gloves on. And when there's so much clapping, right? And it was like boom, 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 boom all the time.
It's always like that.
It sounded like, you know, those things that give you sometimes those little blow up things and you clap them together when
that
you're
are
at
evil?
Somebody. Yeah.
That they do at soccer games.
You have an awful lot of those. So, Gene, what's your expectations of Governor Kehoe? How do you think this is going
to
go?
You know, I mean, you hate to set the bar so high, but I mean, I've known Mike Kehoe for 10 years. He's one of the best people that I've met in politics. He's a great human being. He's a hard worker. He's a leader. I think, too, though, like we've seen with other Republican governors, and I think this will be the case with him, he is not focused on fringe issues.
He's not.
He is focused on the three things he keeps talking about: public safety, education, and business environment, meaning cutting taxes and regulations. And he's been on those three themes the whole time. He's already gotten to work on those issues. And he's going to be focused on them. That doesn't mean there won't be other things addressed. But if he stays focused on those, and as you said, like, this is the honeymoon period for any new leader. You got to get things done the first 100 days. Jane knows, having been in the governor's office, he has a lot of goodwill. But, you know, how long does it last? But I do think, one, he's focused. He works really hard. And the guy's about getting things done. He's not about, hey, I'm governor. He's about, what can I do to make the state a better place? And I am just thrilled.
And he communicates. Yes. I mean, that is 90% mm-hmm. of it. The best advice I ever got when I became chief of staff was, if you talk to at least 50 people a day, and most of those people ought to be people you don't agree with, then you're going to really have a good idea about, you know, where this all fits in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to make better decisions, get out of your bubble, and make, you know, to make good decisions. I've seen, you have, you've seen Mike, and everybody calls him Mike because he's Mike, you know, and he goes.
I call him governor now.
Yes, we have to. But you
I called him Mike until Sunday.
But he's Mike, right? Because that's the kind of person he is. And but I've seen him how many times on the floor of the Senate, on the floor of the House, talking to individual members, working it, sitting on the dais when people needed to be set straight. You know, he is not, he's going to be a hands-on person. And everybody knows, like, if, you know, if you're working on an issue and there's about, you know, 20 different interest groups, you know, that always have an idea about what should happen.
Right.
He is the kind of person, though, that will get those people in the room. Everybody's not going to get everything they want.
Yeah, right? Let's find the common ground areas.
That's right.
And let's make that
there
happen.
There is more that we agree on, and let's stop the games, and let's stop the gamemanship. And that's what I'm looking most forward to. And so, I really hope that people take his lead, because I think people are sick of it.
So, Donna, you just came out of there. You were there last year, and you made a good point during the break. There are an awful lot of new House members who are there. What's funny is I was just talking to Representative Wendy Houseman about this on Monday up in her office. St. Charles County has 11 all-Republican state reps, but 9 of them were in the last election or this election that just came in. So we have 9 of our 11 that are brand new people, Donna, to your point. How hard do you think it's going to be for John Patterson to be able to get those folks together and align under Kehoe's priorities?
Well, I can tell you that when you're new, you know, you think you're going to be able to do all these things and you actually don't get that done, right?
You need to figure out where the bathroom is first.
Yeah. So
you need to build relationships. That's right. what democracy is, people.
It really is.
Right. But I think, because Patterson is very even keeled. And if you ask him a question, he's going to give you an answer whether you like the answer or not. And I think that's something that hasn't been done quite in a while for the Speaker of the House. I was very fortunate to serve under Todd Richardson. And
he was a good speaker.
He was a good speaker. And I think John's going to be following those same footsteps, just because it's a very crazy place to navigate, because you have different areas and they all have, everybody wants to talk. Everybody thinks what they're talking about is the most important thing. But they're going to have to learn the rules, and that's going to be the hardest thing. So I actually think not a whole lot will happen the first year of a freshman's term, because they'll be too busy not even knowing how they even get a bill heard in committee.
But hopefully they'll fall in line with leadership and get the priorities done for the governor.
And if they don't, I think they do that to their own peril, because I do think people are looking to see results. Yes. We've had a Senate that has not been functional for nearly 3 years.
Yeah.
2 years for sure. 3 years, you know, 2.5 years, let's say.
At least 2 years. Yeah.
At least 2 years. And I think that people are enough is enough, that we're not playing that game anymore. And the people who have gone through looking at that nonsense, they're the people in leadership right now, and they don't want that to happen. And
I think
the big
personalities who were there and had a lot of personal vendettas with each other, in the Senate especially.
Well, they made it about themselves.
But they're gone.
But
so we have... Fresh.
But it always pops up again. So, I think this first, you know, the first year is a big deal. But over time, and you go to any state where there's a majority, where they have everything. So in California, it's all Democrats. Missouri, it's all Republicans. Over time, animosity builds up. Like right now, we have a speaker, a Senate leader, and a governor who get along great. And they're all on the same page.
Right.
In 2 years, those leadership positions are going to change.
They are.
And so it remains to be seen what will happen. I think it's good now, but over time, you always get
term
cracks.
Term limits suck.
You know?
No, they do. But it's ruined our state.
And right. Term limits are a great idea on paper.
But we now have
term
a governor who grew up in St. Louis.
Right.
Amen.
And it has hurt St. Louis a lot that we've not had a whole lot of leadership from St. Louis.
He understands.
And he understands what we're going through. And I was I had a different kind of relationship with, I hate to tell him Mike because it's governor now. His mother lived in my ward when I was an alderman.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So I met her when I was door knocking or if she needed some help with something. But then when she moved back to Jefferson City, because that's where I'm originally from, she played bridge with my mom. So So I tell people, I said,
small world.
Right, but that's very good, though. I mean, I love that he goes up to North St. Louis. He is not afraid to go up to North St. Louis and say, okay, here are the problems I'm seeing with my own eyes. Don't tell me I'm not seeing what I'm not seeing.
And he came back during the campaign and made a lot of connections in his old neighborhood. I mean, he was back in Baden, and he was talking to
most
folks
people
there.
Most people won't show up.
That's true. He does. Up. Now, I want to turn the page because we've only got about 3 minutes left here. Monday, we have a new president. Expectations, first day, Donald Trump, Gene Evans.
Well, you're going to see, you know, you're going to see a lot of executive orders. But I think
I've heard up to 100.
The big picture here that I think people, whether you're a legislator or a business person, is that more and more stuff is going to be sent back to the states. I mean, we think about the abortion issue a few years ago.
Right.
But there's a decentralization of power going on. It's in the courts and it's coming with this government. So it's going to be incumbent on state and local legislators to make their states business friendly, because a lot of the rules now are going to shift back to state and local and away from this centralized power. And that is what Trump wants to do. And the courts are doing the same thing.
Donna, what do you think?
Deep breath.
I hate talking about Trump. Oh, my God.
Well, I can't figure out why they think it's too cold to be outside. That was my first thought, because I was like, wait a minute. You just said we were outside in Jefferson City. It was only 10 degrees. And
evidently, D.C. is supposed to be like extra.
It was below zero for Obama, and more than a million people showed up.
But then I said to myself, is it because all those millionaires aren't used to being in the cold?
Oh, shot. Well, you know, the oligarchy is there, you know. Biden warned us.
Is Soros going to be there?
Evidently, yeah. Soros is coming in with his...
Fair point.
Hey, honestly, I'm so worried about all the shots, literal shots that have been taken at this president. I'm glad it's going to be inside, because...
It is going to be easier to secure things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I probably won't agree on very much with this guy.
Really? That's surprising.
Shocker.
I know. I didn't see that coming.
I know, because all the progressives are like, you're one of them. I'm like, no, I'm not one of you. But...
She's a woman without a country right now.
That's a very different question. But I am looking forward to some law and order. I mean, I got to tell you.
Yes.
I mean, that's the one thing I probably will agree with him on. And I think I was really up, and I like Joe Biden, but I was really ticked off when he gave a Medal of Freedom to George Soros, who has single-handedly upended
law and order more than anyone.
Criminal justice system.
Yes.
And St. Louis took one of the heaviest brunts, along with the coast.
And Chicago.
Yes. But, I mean, that is just, it's devastating. And it's going to be decades before we get that cleaned up. So, I look forward. I'm trying to be positive. Did you notice?
I love that.
I'm being positive. I look forward to law and order being a priority. And, Mr. President, when you get sworn in, we need lots of help here in St. Louis. A lot of corruption, a lot of bad things going on. Can you please send in reinforcements to St. Louis?
I have 1 minute. What are you looking forward to on Monday? Real quick.
With the inauguration?
Yeah. What do you want to see on Monday? Anything?
The end of woke.
The end of woke.
The end of woke, yes.
Okay. Donna.
I'm just going to watch.
You want peaceful transfer of power. That's what you want,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. I want a peaceful transfer of power.
I love that. So, Gene Evans, thanks for being here. Donna Behringer, thanks for being here. Jane Duker's going to hang out with us, right? You're
of
not
course.
Leaving.
No,
I just wanted to make sure nothing's changed since I was here before. Hey, Brian Kilmeade is going to be in town. KFTK 97.1 is welcoming him to the factory in Chesterfield Saturday, March 22nd. You can go to briankilmeade.com and get more information about that. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.